Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Got a crazy case out of Iowa. It has to do with an automobile restoration. We've talked a little bit about that in the past. In fact, recently talked about how would you find out if a restoration shop was on the up and up. Here's a situation where a restoration shop, according to the customer, tried to charge them more than what they agreed upon. And this case went all the way to the Iowa Supreme Court. 1931 Chevy restoration gets Supreme Court ruling by Stephen Symes at Motorious.com. And the case could have legal effect in the future going forward as a precedent. Now, of course, this is Iowa's Supreme Court ruling in favor of a couple who brought their car to a classic car restoration shop. It was a 1931 Chevrolet. The couple wanted the classic car shop to restore the vehicle, and they had a discussion, how much is this going to cost us? And they said that they had a verbal agreement for a $45,000 cap on what it would cost. It cost no more than $45,000. They said they had a verbal agreement with the classic car shop on that as a final bill amount. So when the shop finished the vehicle, they said, here's your final bill for $112,000. Now, it doesn't take a mathematician or a rocket scientist to understand that $112,000 is more than $45,000. Of course, that's over twice what the couple said they could afford. And it's also substantially more than they said that they were promised. So the case went to the district court, where both sides presented their case, and the judge ruled in favor of the car restoration place and said they're owed a balance of $67,000, which when added to the other amount totals to $112,000. But of course, they're saying that the $45,000 wasn't even half of what the bill was, when the couple says that the agreement was that $45,000 was the cap. So that decision was then appealed to the Iowa Supreme Court, which reversed the lower court's ruling. In the decision, which is quite lengthy, the Iowa Supreme Court explained that the shop had violated the law by keeping the classic car when it wasn't paid the balance of the bill. So we've talked before about mechanics liens. And so if a shop does work on an automobile in many states, they're allowed to hold the car as security until they get paid, but they must be holding it for a lawful reason. And here, they were holding it to get more money than they were promised, at least according to what the plaintiffs said. The Supreme Court of Iowa also clarified that in Iowa, the law says a supplier must notify a consumer of several rights and provide authorization forms for work, which the classic car shop did not do. The court also ruled that the oral agreement between the couple and the shop was binding. In other words, a shop can't just run up the bill after a customer tells them to limit work to a specific dollar amount. Now, some people are going to say, Steve, verbal agreement. Did they agree there was a verbal agreement in court? In other words, the plaintiffs said we had a verbal agreement. Does the classic car shop admit they had a verbal agreement? Or do they deny that? Because that actually is a factual question. The Supreme Court appears to be suggesting that the parties have either agreed to this or that the lower court found that there was, in fact, a verbal agreement. The Supreme Court is never in a position to make judgment calls on factual questions. Factual questions get resolved in the lower court and go up, and the Supreme Court simply looks at legal issues. So apparently, the Supreme Court is presuming that there was a verbal agreement. And if there was a verbal agreement, then they're saying the classic car shop was stuck with it. Also, many states, including Michigan, say that if a shop is going to perform repairs on a vehicle for a customer, they have to give you in writing in advance an estimate of the work. Therefore, you don't get into situations like this. And that, of course, is how you'd avoid the situation. So if you're the classic car shop and you're in front of the court going, how can we avoid this? It's simple. Get a piece of paper out when a customer comes in your shop and go, how much are you willing to pay us? They say $45,000. If you're willing to set $45,000 at work, then you write it on a piece of paper. We will do the work for $45,000. If you're not willing to do it for $45,000, work out a different number. But when you work the number out, write it down. One of the reasons that these cases happen in this field and others is that two people are discussing something, and one party wants to pay less than the other party wants, and the other party wants more than the other party wants to pay. And they're each kind of hoping that they can kind of nudge the transaction in their favor as time goes on. But that's not how this should be done. So if you go into a shop and say, I want my car repaired, and they say, okay, I will repair your car. How much? They say, 12 grand. Just picking numbers out of the air here. Okay, let's put that on a piece of paper. They won't put it on a piece of paper. It's not a real number. Okay? And so it goes to protect both sides. If you have an agreement, put it on paper. And I'll tell you right now that if you just simply pulled out a blank piece of paper and wrote something on it, you're going to wind up arguing about something else. But here at least, the number. Was the $45,000 a down payment? Was it a cap? What was it? But the Supreme Court appears to find that this was an oral agreement, that was the capped amount. So a shop can't just run up the bill after a customer tells them to limit work to a specific dollar amount. And Motorius says this case reminds us of a lawsuit reportedly filed by Philadelphia Eagles defensive lineman Malik Jackson against a custom car shop last summer, where he claimed the shop kept asking for more money on a project after they had agreed to a certain budget. And as far as we know, that case is still making its way through the court system. But there's always a possibility of those parties settling it, which of course can always happen. And by the way, Stephen Symes points out, if you want to read the Iowa Supreme Court document, you can check it out here. But it's 47 pages of legalese, so I doubt that it's fun to read. But getting back to this situation, I've talked before about the crazy lug nut case in Michigan. And many people reference that story whenever I talk about people not completing work. And that's the case where somebody brought their vehicle into a shop to have the tires rotated. And the shop pulled the wheels off, rotated them, and then forgot to tighten the lug nuts on one of the wheels, such that as they left the building down the road a little ways, the wheel came off, caused an accident. And the Michigan Supreme Court said, well, tire rotation is just a tire rotation. And they got most of the job done, therefore they performed the job. They were talking about the language from the Motor Vehicle Service and Repair Act in Michigan. It says that if you pay someone to do work on your car, they must perform the work. And the Michigan Supreme Court bent over backwards to contort their logic to please their commercial overlords, and said that, well, once you start a job, it's performed, whether you finish it or not. And that's an absurd result. But the Motor Vehicle Service and Repair Act does require you to give somebody, in advance of work being done, a written estimate that's been signed by somebody saying this is the estimate. And you give it to the consumer. And the consumer gets it. They can look at it and go, oh, okay, that's the estimate. Proceed with the work. And then when the work is done, they've got to sign another statement saying that the work was performed. Question is, what does perform mean? Because again, remember the Supreme Court and their dark overlords. So that's the Michigan situation. But many states do say if you bring something into a shop for work, they got to give you something in writing indicating what they're going to do. Be that as it may, if you're in a state that does not require that, you should still just do it. Why not? So there's some shop that does great work, and you've got a car that you want to have restored, and you bring it in and go, how much to restore my car? And they go, it shouldn't be more than $100,000. And you're happy with that. You say, okay, can we put that on a piece of paper and write it down? Sign it. Now, if someone goes, no, we won't, you might say, why? I suggest, instead of asking why, walk out. If someone is not willing to write down something that's coming out of their mouth, then you should ignore what's coming out of their mouth. It's as simple as that. Some people will act offended. Oh my gosh, you don't believe me. You don't trust me. No. I'm concerned we're going to wind up in front of the Iowa Supreme Court a couple years from now. You understand that the parties in this case probably had to pay their own legal fees, such that the plaintiffs in this case may have spent more money on legal fees than they paid having their car restored. Why they do this? They probably have their own reasons. It might be a matter of principle. I'm not saying they're wrong to do it. I'm simply saying mathematically, you don't want to be in that position. People can be right and still lose financially. If a fight is over money, it becomes a Pyrrhic victory, meaning that you lose more money than you're going to get if you win for being right. Very, very strange situation. Now, there might be a fee-shifting statute in Iowa for these situations. I don't know. But if you'd asked me about the Lugnut case in Michigan, I would have said there's no way the Supreme Court's going to say a job's been performed properly when the lug nuts haven't been tightened on a car. So crazy things happen. So you want to avoid that situation. So you bring your car in to have repairs done on it that are going to be substantial. They're going to have your car for a long time, doing all kinds of work, tracking down parts and repairing your 1931 Chevy. Okay? It's going to be a long, arduous, expensive repair. Put it in writing. Put it in writing. If they won't put it in writing, don't do business with them. And like I said, there will be businesses who are going to act offended. I've been here for 45 years. Ask anybody. So what? Are you telling me the truth? Are you honestly saying the job is going to be $100,000? Yes. Write it on a piece of paper. If they can't do that, I'm not sure you want to do business with them. I wouldn't. So there you go. Peter sent it. Thanks a lot. Stephen Simes wrote from Motorious.com. 1931 Chevy restoration gets Supreme Court ruling in Iowa. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. In the middle of a difficulty lies opportunity.